So we're going to start at Lamed Hem a bit. We are about 10 lines from the top. Okay, we're going to review. Put the chart on the sheet today. So we have our Mishnah. It says, all these people are chayvo knas. Okay, we're going to go over this 15 times. We got it straight. Our Mishnah says, avalachoto and all those people, you pay knas. The Mishnah Makot said, all those same people get malkot. How does that work? Ula says, Nara, Bogeret, right? Because in a Bogeret there isn't Knas, that's why you get Malko. Because for him, if there's a toss up, right, between the two, you're going to pay and not get due Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan thinks the opposite, you're going to get Malkot always if there's a toss up between the two. So it must be you pay the Knas in a case where there isn't Malkot. What would that case be? When there's no warning. Rish Lakish said that our mission is according to Rabbi Meir, who says, Loke Mashalem, which is an opinion we see in Malkot. Okay, then. Tokhidei, we brought up this issue of Rabba, who says, Ganav v'tavach b'shabbat. Okay, here I quote it on the page. So let's just read here from Ketubot Lama Gimel, Amabed. I put it on the page just so that we see what we're up to. Rish Lakish said this, Rabbi Meir. That's Rish Lakish. So then they say, E Rabbi Meir, afilu bito nami. Then also, bito should be the same thing. And what do we see with bito? Ein laknas. The assumption was that if he holds loke umashalim, then he also holds meit umashalim. In which case, the next Mishnah, which listed all the people that don't pay knas, according to Rabbi Meir, right? If our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the next Mishnah should be Rabbi Meir. And if Rabbi Meir says loke umashalim, then the assumption is he'll also say meit umashalim. Okay, and then the Gemara says, if
why
you want to say, so usually, first of all, why would they assume it? Because it's a very clear cut
pattern.
It says, Elu now wrote. We haven't seen it inside yet, but you're going to see it today. Elu now wrote, right? It's Elu now wrote sheyesh lehem knas ve'elu she'ein lehem knas. So it's hard to say that these are two different opinions. Even though we've seen that before, but that's when they list sort of different, they give different cases. This is, these have knas, these don't have knas, and they're clearly up against each other. Very hard to say it's someone else. So now, but what's the question? Just because Rabbi Meir will say lokeo mishalim doesn't necessarily mean he's going to say meidu mishalim. So the Gemara says, b'chi tamar Rabbi Meir lokeo mishalim idle meidu mishalim leitle. Maybe you want to say he just doesn't hold Meinu Mishalim. Just because he holds Lokel Mishalim. Remember, the Mishnah in Makot just said Lokel Mishalim. It didn't say Meinu Mishalim. So just because he says Lokel Mishalim doesn't necessarily mean he's going to say Meinu Mishalim. But now they say, I'm going back to Lama Gimel Lama Bet because this is leading into where we're starting today. I said it's on the sheet here because I want to just. So now the Gemara says you can't say that he holds Meinu Mishalim. Why? Because the Braita says, okay, now we get to our case, Ganav v'tavach b'shabbat, remember, and then Ganav v'tavach l'avodat kochavim and all that, Mishalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, divrei Rabbi Meir. So here Rabbi Meir gives a case where you're chayav mavet, and you are Mishalem, okay? So you have to say that Rabbi Meir will hold me'u Mishalem, right? That's what we're up to. Then we have one opinion which said, no, you can't learn from this Braita me'u Mishalem. Why? Because remember, we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan and all his people, right, all these people said the name Rabbi Yochanan and all these other people, it was Toveach HaYidei Acher. Somebody else did the Tvicha, in which case it wasn't a case of Meinu Mishalim at all. Okay? So that's one answer. Because we want to come out saying, if we want to say our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and then the following Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, in which case you have to say that even though Loko Mishalim, ain't no Meinu Mishalim. Okay? Now, if you're going to say no Meinu Mishalim, you're going to have to resolve this bright to where it says that Rabbi Meir says you pay even though you were tzganav before Shabbat and then tavach on Shabbat. So then what did we say? We said, very simply, right? That was someone else did the tvicha. He was chayav mavet. You weren't chayav mavet. That's why you're paying. The second approach we saw, and this is where we're going to start with today, is Rabba. Rabba said you pay the arba'av chamisha here because it was a chidush hu shechidshat Torah b'knas. And then we went through all these cases yesterday where you only chayav the knas if there was the gneva happened, right? If there was a problem with the gneva and the gneva never took off, then also the knas wouldn't. But assuming the gneva happened, then you're chayav knas because it's a chiddush by knas. That's Rabba, and that's where we're starting today. Okay, so now, Amar le Rav Papa l'Abaye. We're on line 10 about of Lamed Ha Amud Bet. So Rav Papa now wants to ask Abaye a question about Rabba. Le Rabba da Amar chidushu shechitsha Torah b'knas va'af agav de mikta mishalem. So now what are we saying according to Rabba? There's a special chidush by knas. Even though normally you're a no made umashalem, in a case of knas, you're going to be made umashalem. So now we have to read our Mishnah according to Rabbah, and according to which Tana'itic opinion does he hold by. Okay, now we're going to bring a few different Tana'im and try to explain our Mishnah according to one of those Tana'im. So now, Matnitin Kiman Mokimla. So who is our Mishnah going to go according to? Ike Rabbi Meir, if you're going to say it's like Rabbi Meir, okay, what's going to be the problem? Kasha Bito. The second Mishnah is going to be a problem, because this, if we're going to say, Rabbi says it's a chiddush by knas, you always pay knas, even if there's mate. Well, Mishnah Haba, right, the next Mishnah, where it lists all the people that don't have knas, because they get mita beitin, well then what do you see there? Even though there's knas, right, there's mate, right? You get punished by death, and you don't pay knas. So, you can't say that that's, Rabba can't work with that. Okay? So now, Ike Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakane. Okay, now what's Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakane? We have to go back to Lam and Amud Aleph. I brought all the opinions on the sheet to make it easier for you. So look on the sheet where it says, Ketuba daf Lam and Amud Aleph. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakane haya ose et yom kippurim ke Shabbat le tashlumin. When we learned the din of Kimle, what did we say? Kimle, like our Mishnah holds, it seems, that Kimle is mito beitin and not mito bidei shamayim, right? Not karet. Comes Rabbi Nechunya ben Akan and he says, no, it also applies to karet. How do I know? If you'll remember this as soon as I read it. My time is Rabbi Chunya ben Akana. I'm Rabbi. Ne'emar asom bidei Adam, ve'ne'emar asom bidei Shamayim. Remember, we got into what's bidei Shamayim? What was Yaakov worried about? Was going to happen to Binyamin on the way? Was it Kor and Chom? Was it Arayot? Which one's bidei Shamayim? Which bidei Adam? Anyway, what do we see here? That he holds the Karet Amita bidei Shamayim, right? What do we say? It's also a din of Kimle. So if you're going to say, so now how does this work? If you're going to say that Bekaret Eno Mashalim, now what is his whole din about? He takes the din of Kimle, which is learned from the Pasuk of Ason, right? And what do we say? Ason is a case of Mate Bidei Adam, right? It's Mita Beitin. Now, we're going to learn from there also to Karet, right? But then what do you say according to him? We're only going to learn from there to Karet. We're not going to learn from there to Malkot. So we're going to say that our Mishnah gives all these cases of chayvim malkot, and because of that, you have to be mishalem l'knas, because he holds ein omedu mishalem, ein karedu mishalem, or mita beitin, mita bidei shamayim mishalem, but yes, lokel mishalem. But obviously, this is going to be a problem, because our Mishnah doesn't only list chayvim malkot, okay? It also lists Chayve Kritu, right? So we're going to basically say in a second, Kasha Achoto, right? The Achoto cases and all the last cases of our Mishnah are all cases of Karet. And what do we see? You are Mishalim. And he says, Karet Eino Mishalim. So it can't be Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. We'll see. Now, Ike Rabbi Yitzchak, maybe we can hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. Now you're saying, who's Rabbi Yitzchak? Don't worry, we haven't learned him yet, okay? Who's Rabbi Yitzchak? Look in my sheet. Makot Yugimel Amud Bet, okay, on the Mishnah of Eluhein Alokim, and it listed all those people, Rabbi Yitzchak says, now remember, all our people that it lists in the Mishnah in Makot are all people, okay, we haven't discussed this at this point, we've discussed this in the past, but Chayvei Kritut generally also get Malkot, okay, and that's why they're saying these people get Malkot, because they get Onish Bidei Shamayim of Mavet, like Habal Achoto and all those people, but they also, Bidei Adam, get a punishment. And what's their punishment? Malkot. Okay, the Beit Din can come, if they have Edim and Hatra'ah, they can come and give those people Malkot. Not according to everybody. Rabbi Yitzchak holds, Chayvei Kritu Bechlal Hayu, right, V'lama Yatzat Karet Ba'achoto, Liduno B'Karet V'lo B'Malkot. He thinks that these cases of Karet don't get Malkot. Okay? So now, how does this work according to our Mishnah? So now, if you say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yitzchak, and he thinks that these Chayvei Kritu don't get Malkot, so what does he hold? Now you could say, he holds against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane. He thinks that Karet doesn't have the din of Kimle, meaning you do Karet and Mishalem, and there's no Malkot to say, oh, well, Malkot would override the Mamon, because he would hold, like Rabbi Meir, that you would be Mishalem if you... He thinks Malkot eino Mishalem, but there is no Malkot here, okay? In other words, he would hold in Kare, there's no din of Kimle. In Malkot, there is a din of Kimle, but there is no Malkot here. And there's just Kare. And Kare, you're Mishalem, and that's why you would say it, okay? But... And that's why Achoto would be Mishalem, right? Our case of Achoto is Chiyuv Karet. He holds against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane. He thinks Karet doesn't have a din of Kimle. And therefore Achoto is Mishalem. He thinks Mate doesn't have a din of Mishalem. And that would explain the next Mishnah. However, he would think that Malkot is Mishalem and the isn't Mishalem. And that's a problem. In other words, what does he hold? Only in Mave is the din of Kimle. Okay, now, if...
And only Mavet Karet.
One second. No, no, one second. No, 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 one second. Malkot. Right. Malkot and Mavet have a din of Kimle, and Karet doesn't. But that also doesn't work, because what do we see? We only have a din of Kimle. We have a din, I'm sorry. Right. Malkot would be a din of Kimle. Right? Now that's a problem because, okay, Kashya Mamzeret. Because our Mishnah also lists Chayv and Malkot, and they also have a din of, they have no din of Kimle here, right? There's Malkot, like Mamzeret, you get Malkot for it, and you're Mishalim. So while, yes, it deals with the Chayv Kritu part of our Mishnah, it doesn't deal with the Chayv Malkot part of our Mishnah. Okay? Because according to him, the Chayv Malkot would not be Mishalim. And here we see the Chayv and Malkot are Mishalim. So it can't be Rabbi Yitzchak. So we've rejected three Tanaitic opinions. We can't figure out how Rabbi would establish our Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to say, HaNichay, it does work, Isavra laka Rabbi Yochanan. You could say he just holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Not that he has a particular Tanaitic opinion, but he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that what? What was Rabbi Yochanan's terutz, remember? It depends whether you had Hatra'ah or not. This just isn't a case where there's Malkot at all, because it would be a case where there is no Malkot, there is no punishment, and therefore there's no din of Kimle at all. In other words, first they tried to say, let's hold he holds somewhere, like a Tana, in this machloket of Kimle, but it can't possibly work. So in the end, they say that he must be able to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. But if he were to hold like Rish Lakish, there's no way to understand him according to Rish Lakish. Okay? Why? Remember, Rish Lakish would say it's Rabbi Meir, right? You'd have to say, though, Rabbi Meir, who's Lokel Mishalem, doesn't hold Meit Umishalem. And that would explain the following Mishnah, right? But Rabbi said, no, in a case of Knas, there is Meit Umishalem. And that's why he can't explain the second Mishnah, according to Rish Lakish. So he can't hold it's Rabbi Meir. And therefore, we'd have to say that he just holds that in the case of Hatra'ah, we get Malkot. In the case where there's no Hatra'ah, then there's no Chiyuv Malkot, and then you'd have to pay. Okay? And that's how you'd have to explain him. So in the end, they say, Al Korcha ke Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle. The only way Rabbi could work, remember, Rabbi lived after Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, right? They lived after all the Tanaim and then after Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So you'd have to say he must hold like Rabbi Yochanan to explain the Mishnayot. Otherwise, the Mishnayot don't make sense. So remember, they took Rabbi, who gave this case of Ganav v'Tavach, and explained that case as a Chidush Chidshat Torah b'Knas. And then they tried to apply it here, and they say, well, it must be that here he thinks you pay the Knas, because there was no Hatra'ah. Okay, that's what you'd have to say.
Just ask a question.
Yeah.
Probably a stupid question. But
no questions.
They don't cast any doubt on whether there was a mistake in the Mishnah itself, if it didn't match up with the Mishnah from Malkot. that maybe a word was, you know, that he wrote
about the, which one has knas and which doesn't have knas.
Because I think the Mishnah say that words in the Gemara are bright.
So I think it goes back to your first question, which is this Mishnah is so clear cut. I mean, it's so organized, and it's so these people pay knas, these people don't pay knas. They're organizing categories: the chayve malkot, the chayve kritu, the chayve mito beitin. It's so clear cut that to say there's a mistake here, I think, is really hard to say. You know, it's just so obvious that it's by categories. And what's really at stake here is when an emorah starts talking and gives some opinion, how does it work in with this Mishnah? The question falls on the emorah and not on the Mishnah, really.
Okay.
I mean, it's true sometimes they try to re-explain the Mishnah, but I think here there really is no way to re-explain the Mishnah.
Okay.
It is very hard. Okay. Amar le Rav Matna Labai. L'Rish Lakish de Amar, Beferish Ruta Torah Chayve Malkio Kechayve Mito. Mantana de Pali Galei de Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akane. Okay, so now Rabbi Raman asks the Baya like this. According to Rish Lakish, they say that Beferish Ribta Torah Chayve Malkio Kechayve Kritu. What does that mean? I'm going to shut the ring tomorrow. okay. So.
What was Rish Lakish taking? What was his point of view on the Machloket?
His point of view is that our mission is Rabbi Meir who says Loke Umashalim.
Okay.
Okay? So now. Remember, he said the chayve malkiot are like chayve mito, right? That just like, right? Chayve malkiot shogigin or pturimi l'shalem. This was the whole thing about even if they don't have hatra'ah, remember? He was against Rabbi Yochanan. He said, even if you didn't get warned and you were shogeg, therefore, you still have a din of kimle, right? They're just like chayve mito. That even though you don't get killed, you still don't have to pay, right? So a guy does an avera, he wears chayv malko, he doesn't have to pay. So now, who's the Tana de Palag Aleid Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akane, right? This, okay, according to Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akane, karet is just like mavet, right? But malkot is not. So according to this, who holds the chayve kritut are chayavim b'tashlumin. In other words, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would say that karet is like mavet, right? That you would end up eino, right? You have din karet on you. You don't have to pay. So who thinks that if you do chayve kritut, you would have to pay? Okay, who's the person who disagrees with it? So the Gemara answers, oh, that's very easy. Either it's Rabbi Meir, who holds that lokel mishalim, and then we're going to apply not just lokel mishalim, but also karet u'mishalim, okay? Or it's Rabbi Yitzchak who holds that there's no malkuyot in chayve kritut, and since karet is in poter from tashlumin, then you'd be chayav l'shalem. In other words, he holds that, remember, this is what we said before about Rabbi Yitzchak. He holds that malkot lokel mishalem, but not by karet. He thinks, right, he kind of bypasses. If you think of it as a hierarchy, we don't really... Right, according to, it's like a weird, okay, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane says like this, mavet, right, mita beitin, and also karet. Rabbi Yitzchak says, mavet, mita beitin, okay, let's write it like this, mita beitin, and also karet, and he holds mita beitin, and also malkot has kimlet, but not karet. And then, because he also holds that karet doesn't get malkot, so then there's no din of kimle by karet. Okay? So that's so therefore you'd be chayav l'shalem according to Rabbi Yitzchak in karet, and you'd also be chayav l'shalem according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would say lokel mishalem, lokel mishalem and karet mishalem, you could say. Okay? Why? All right. Because according to Rabbi Meir, why would you say here? Let's put Rabbi Meir up now. Rabbi Meir, what would you say? Loke umashalem. And karet is shaver malko. Because against Rabbi Yitzchak, any chiyuv karet gets malko. And if chiyuv karet gets malko, then the malko is going to make you chayiv in the tashlumen. Because malko umashalem. Okay? So basically, either way you look at it, right, whether you hold like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak who disagree with each other about whether chai v'kritug get malkot or chai v'kritug don't get malkot, they'll still all come to the same conclusion that you do have to pay in those cases. And that's against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, it was a unique shita that karet is not mishalem. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we have a new brayta. This stuff's going to get a little simpler. Arayot u'shniot la'arayot. Okay, now we're going to have to explain what is arayot and shniot la'arayot. Okay, until now, how have we learned what arayot and shniot la'arayot? Arayot are isurei arayot mi'at Torah. And shniot, we learned this in Yevamot, are derabanan. They're secondary. Okay, they're things that come out of the doraitas. We're going to see that this is going to be a problem, though. This to explain that shniot means derabanan is not going to work here. But anyway, let's learn the brayta first, and then we'll explain why it doesn't work. So, any arayot, or shniot la'arayot, if you rape them, ein lahem, lo knas, velo pitoy. Okay, you don't pay knas, and you don't pay pitoy from a chateh. Hamima'enet, ein la, lo knas, velo pitoy. Okay, you're someone who was married to someone, but you were married off by your father. I'm sorry, not by your father. You were married off, your father's not alive anymore to marry you off. If your father marries you off, we learned this in Yevamot, it becomes nisuim mida oraita. If your father's not around and your mother or your brother or some relative marries you off, then you're only married mida rabbanan. Then what happens? You stay married until such time as you decide to say, I don't want to be married to this guy anymore. You have a certain time span in which you're allowed to do this, right? Until either you become shtei sarot or maybe a na'ara, we'll see. Remember we talked about this, we're going to get into this today again. The different time periods. There's a ketana, right? Then she's mevi'ah shtei sarot, and then there's like a time after where between the shtei sarot and a bogeret, she's a na'ara. Okay? So we have four different time periods. Ketana, shtei sarot, na'ara, and bogeret. Really, I guess it's really three, because it's ketana until, right, is basically ad shtei sarot. Once she has shtei sarot, she becomes a na'ara for approximately a six-month period, and then she's a bogeret. So exactly when she could do the miyun is somewhere between until she has shtei sarot or maybe until she's a na'ara. We're going to see this soon. So if you go to your husband and say, I don't want to be married to you anymore, and then you get raped, she doesn't get knas or pitoy. Ailonit, we're going to go into all these cases one by one. Ailonit, ein ba lo knas ve lo pitoy. Here's another woman who doesn't get knas or pitoy. That's if she's a woman who can't have children. Hayotzeit mishum shemra. Okay, the assumption right now, and we're going to change this later, but the assumption of the brayta is, that's a motzi shemra, a man who says, I think that you were right, he marries her, there's no simanei betulim. He says, oh, I think that you were with another man once we were engaged, and, you know, I have witnesses to show for it. So ein la lo knas ve lo pitoy. Okay, she doesn't get knas or pitoy if she gets divorced from her husband immediately after the first night because he was a motzi shemra, or right, she had a shemra mutzaleh. So she doesn't get knas, and then she gets raped. She doesn't get knas or pitoy. Again, rape or seduction where she agrees. So now the Gemara wants to know my arayot umay shniot arayot. Ilema arayot mamash. Arayot is arayot mamash, meaning from the Torah, and shniot is midivrei sofrim. So what's the problem? We're going to say that someone who was over at Isser Midrabanan is now not going to get a knas that's magia la mida oraita. You can't do that. That's like mixing apples and oranges, right? Mida oraita, this woman did nothing wrong, because there's no Isser in the Torah about it. There's no Isser in the Torah about it, and somebody rapes her, well then she should get the din de oraita of ones, right, of the knas. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. Kevan de mida oraita chazyale, amai ein la knas, right? Since mida oraita, she was, you know, a regular woman who could have gotten raped and should be paying the knas, so why shouldn't she have knas? So therefore, they assume here it has to be something in a doraita category. So what do they say? Ela arayot chayave mito beitin. Shniot chayave kritu. Okay, it must be that arayot means chayave mito beitin, and shniot is chayave kritu. Ava chayave lavim yesh lahem knas. Okay, so then what would you say here? That if you have an arayot that's chayav mita beitin, and if you have one that's chayav karet, then there's no knas. This is obviously against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah listed chayav kritut as you get knas. So this brayta goes against our Mishnah, and who does it hold like? Do you remember this? Umane, this is good chazara. Shimon HaTimni, do you remember Shimon HaTimni said, right, what was his exact words? That if she's if kiddushin, right? He didn't say it in those words, but if kiddushin or tofsim, right? Then he pays the knas. And kol od, there's no kiddushin tofsim, like chayve kritut, right? I forgot what he said. Isha, there was one said isha haruyala, and one said, where is it? Here. Shimon HaTimni Omer, Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya, right, that was it. Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya, which means the Kiddushin or Tofsim. So this holds against our Mishnah, like Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. And Ika De'amre, some people have a different interpretation. Arayot means Chayve Mita Beitim V'Chayve Kritu. Okay? Really against our Mishnah, right? That all those people, right, and Shnio or Chayve Lavim, even Chayve Lavim don't get Knas. And Mane, who is that according to? Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. He, remember, he said, Koli Shashu Ruyalo. If he rapes someone who he can't, right, he's an usher to be with, right, whether it's Chayve Lav or Chayve Kritut or Chayve Mito Beitin, no knas. Okay? So this Braita, however you understand it, goes against our Mishnah. Okay? Either it holds like Rabbi Shimon HaTimni or it holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, depending on how you understand Arayot and Shniot, right? Arayot is either mito beitin and Shniot is karet, or Arayot is beitin and kritut, and Shniot is lavim, and no matter what, they're all in this braita grouped together. All those people don't get paid knas. Okay. Next case. Hamima'enet en la lo knas velo pitui. So now, what do you assume from here? If a mima'enet doesn't get knas or pitui, okay, mima'enet is generally a ktana. Right? She's someone who's in the range of a ktana, basically. So now they're saying, ha ktana ba'alma itla. You'd have to assume, though, if a mema'enet doesn't get knas, the assumption is a regular ktana would get knas. Mane, rabananhi, da'amre ktana yesh la knas. Okay, like I said, this is good chazara. Do you remember we had a whole machloket as to who gets the knas? Elu na'arot sheyesh lahem knas, it says in our Mishnah. What did they say? Na'ara in ktana lo, right? And we saw there was a whole machloket about it. Does a ktana get knas or doesn't she? So we're assuming now that because it says a mema'enet en la knas, that a ktana would get knas. Okay? And that must be according to Shitat Rabbanan, who say the ktana yesh la knas. But now, if you want to say that, there's a problem. Because ema seifa, the seifa says, ailonit en la lo knas velo pitoy. And that's Ata the Rabbi Meir, Damar Ktana Ein La Knas, Vahami Katnuta Yetzta LeBed. What are we saying? An Ailonit is like a Ktana, basically, because she has no Simanim of Gadlut, right? She never grows up, basically. She never has any, right? She can't conceive ever, so she's basically considered like a child. So if an Ailonit doesn't get Knas or Pitoy, then it must be that a Ktana doesn't get Knas or Pitoy, because we're basically equating an Ailonit and a Ktana. So now, it doesn't make any sense. Reisha Rabbanan, V'seifa Rabbi Meir, right? And then you're going to end up that the Reisha holds like Chachamim, and the Seifa holds like Rabbi Meir. Right? This is like what Naomi said before. Why don't we just say that, right? Say, oh, well, one is like one, and one is like the other, right? But we don't really like to say that if we don't have to. Okay, so they're asking, how could it be then, according to this? The Reisha says, Mima Enet, but not a Ktana, right? A Mima Enet. Let's try this out, right? Mima Enet. These are the people who don't get knas, right? A Mima Enet and an Ailonit. So an Ailonit, we're going to say, is just like a Ktana, which assumes if an Ailonit doesn't get knas, then a Ktana ain't la knas. But a Mima Enet is usually a Ktana, right? Or she's in the range of a Ktana. Now we're going to say, Mima Enet doesn't get knas, but a regular Ktana, right? We would assume yesh knas. Okay? So therefore, we're going to have a contradiction here between the assumption about a ktana made from the Mimene case and the assumption about a ktana made from the Ailonit case. So what do we answer right now? We said, well, the first opinion, right, the Mimene, would be Rabbanan. Rabbanan say that a ktana yesh la knas. And the second part, the Ailonit part, would be Rabbi Meir, who holds that a ktana ain la knas. Okay, but we don't really like to do that. That's what we're holding right now. It's problematic to say that the first line is Rabbanan and the next line is Rabbi Meir. So, what's the Gemara going to answer? V'chi tema kula Rabbi Meir hi. Maybe you would say that the whole thing is Rabbi Meir. Ubimama'enet savarla ki Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that mima'enet Okay, what's our assumption here? Here, I didn't explain this well enough. Why are we assuming that a mima'enet is a ktana? Because the assumption is that we hold that you can only do miun until she sees shtei sarah. But maybe the whole thing is Rabbi Meir. Okay, so let's erase Rabbanan. We'll say this really is Rabbi Meir. And we'd have to say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That when can you do miun? Until you're a na'ara. In other words, until you finish the na'ara time period, you have an extra 6 months to do miun. In which case, the case where mema'enet ain't laknas, and it comes to include, to say, but right, what are we saying in the end? The mema'enet ain't laknas, but a na'ara does get knas. And we're really only focusing on that na'ara time period. Okay? And then we'd have to say, and this is going to be the problematic part, if you're going to say that this is Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda about this issue of miun, that miun could be until she's an ara. Okay, we'll see inside the opinions in a minute. But what's the problem? What's obviously going to be the problem? We see Rabbi Meir arguing with Rabbi Yehuda daft about this issue. Okay? So, umi savrala, does Rabbi Meir really hold like Rabbi Yehuda about miun? The Hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, ad matai habat mema'enet? Oh, there it is explicitly. Rabbi Meir thinks she can only do miun if she's a ktana. So therefore, you can't say that this is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir thinks that the tkufa that she can do miun is until she's a nara. No, Rabbi Meir thinks the tkufa is until she's a ktana. In which case, miun comes to tell you a mema and it can't do it, but a regular ktana could do miun. Would get ktana. And that disagrees with the second part. So now we're stuck. Okay, but here's the rest of the braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shir besh shachor al halavan. What does that mean? Until you have enough hair that when you look at a glance, it looks darker rather than lighter. Okay? It means that, right, it's basically a more mature time period, which is the tkufat na'arut. Okay, so therefore, what are we going to say? So let's try something different. Let's try some sort of combination here. Ela Rabbi Yehuda hi. Let's say that the whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Ubiktana Savala Karabi Meir. Okay, and then what are we going to say? That he holds that a ktana ain't laknas like Rabbi Meir. So we're not going to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, because it can't be like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda about the Nara. But we say the whole thing is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that we were talking about the machloket Rabbi Meir Chachamim. Now we're going to say, oh, the whole thing's Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir about the ktana yesh laknas and disagrees with Chachamim. What's going to be the problem with saying this? What was the whole problem? The whole problem was with the Ilonit. If the Ilonit is a ktana, it says ktana and laknas. And he holds like Rabbi Meir the ktana and laknas, right? And that's why the Ilonit also doesn't have knas, right? Because she's like a ktana. So he would hold that a ktana and laknas, and he'd hold that the case of the mema'enet comes to teach us a regular na'ara gets knas. But obviously, ktana wouldn't get knas, and it's all Rabbi Yehuda. But then what do we have to say here? That Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir in the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about a ktana. What's the problem in saying that? Can you figure it out? Umi savrala, v'ha amar Rabbi Yehuda, here one second. Umi savrala, v'ha amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, zo divrei Rabbi Meir. The opinion about the ktana and la knas is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Vim Ita, and if it was Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, what should he have said? Zo divrei Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda mebahele. In other words, right? How is the machloket set up? There's one guy on this side, Rabbi Meir, and there's Chachamim on the other side. Well, if Rabbi Yehuda was with Rabbi Meir, remember Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir from the same time period. They argue all the time, and they're part of the same, right? So if there were two guys against Chachamim, it would have said Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold this. So it doesn't make sense to say that Rabbi Yehuda would hold like Rabbi Meir on that issue. So, can't say that. So what are you going to say? Hai Tana, Sarah Laka Rabbi Meir Bechada, Upalagale Bechada. Much simpler. What are we going to say? It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Meir, it's some other Tana. The Tana who wrote this Mishnah is some anonymous Tana who happens to hold like Rabbi Meir in this situation, in the Ilonit, in the Ktana issue, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda about the Nara issue, okay? And doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir there. And then it's very simple. You just say it's some anonymous Tana, holds like Rabbi Meir in one case, doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir in the other case, and done deal. Okay. Refer mamar my mema'enet, ru'uya lema'en, v'litnek ta'a'osar. He says, don't understand it as, what was our whole problem here? We said it means a mima'enet, right? Now again, going into Rabbi Meir's thinking, a mima'enet is any girl until she becomes, right, a girl who gets married off, until shtei sarah, which means dafka, she doesn't get knas, but a regular ketana will get knas. So now they're saying, maybe he means a mima'enet is anyone who is ru'uya lima'en, which basically is another way of saying a ketana. Very simply. So why don't you just... So that's what he's suggesting. And the Gemara says, no, that's very problematic. Because if that were the case, right? Right? That means she's in the age of a ketana. So then they're saying, v'litne ketana. It should say ketana if that's what they really meant. Okay? So they say kashya, right? It's very difficult to say that. Okay, next case, the Ilonit. Ilonit, ein la lo knas v'lo pitoy. Okay? And Ilonit doesn't get knas, she doesn't get pitoy. Uriminhi. But wait, we have a contradiction with a braita. The Braita says, "Hachereshet v'hashota," okay, a deaf woman or someone who doesn't has mental capabilities. V'ha'ilonit yesh lahen knas v'yesh lahen ta'anat betulim. Okay, what does that mean? They get knas. So here you see, ilonit ain la knas in our case, and here in the Braita it says, "Ilonit yesh lahen knas." And not only do they have knas, but they also have ta'anat betulim that their husband can come and claim they're not a betula. So now they say, what do you mean? V'hai, my rumia. Why are you bringing this to the contradiction? This is obvious what the answer is. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbanan. It's just a machloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbanan. Does a ketana get knas or does a ketana not get knas? If a ketana gets knas, right, then you're going to say the ilonit gets knas. And if the ketana doesn't get knas, you're going to say the ilonit doesn't get knas. So we don't bring a contradiction from a braita when we know there's two good opinions and we could just say each braita goes according to a different opinion. So the Gemara says, oh no, there was some confusion here. Okay, that was it. Udikarele, my karele. The Gemara asks like this. So if it was such an obvious answer, so then what were they thinking in the first place? Why were they asking this question? So the answer is, Mishum di'ile lemirma achrite ilave. No, they really brought this because it was a different problem they had. Okay, they brought in this braita not to argue with our thing. They brought it to argue with something else. So now, let's read the source again that we just read before. I'm going backwards for a minute. Chereshet shota ilonit, yesh lem knas v'yesh lem tana petulim. Now we're going to focus on the tana petulim issue. Here's the other braita now. Chereshet v'ashota v'abogeret, umukat etz, ein lehem ta'anat petulim. Here you see the chereshet and the shota don't have ta'anat petulim. Okay, you can't start claiming against them they weren't a betula. V'asuma v'hailonit, yesh lehem ta'anat petulim. Okay, the Summa and the Ilonit do have Tana Petulim. Sumchus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Summa Ein La Tana Petulim. Okay, soon we're going to get into all the different cases. But right now, the main problem is, Chereshet v'Shota in one case says they have Tana Petulim, in another case they say they don't. So, Amarav Sheshet Lo Kasha, Ha Rabban Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, do you remember Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua? Okay, go backwards to... Daf Yud Bet, okay, Ketubot Yud Bet here, I brought it on the sheet. Okay, remember these cases that they argued in like five different cases? Hanoseet ha'isha v'lo matzala betulim. He omer et mishe rastani ne'enasti v'nistapcha sadeh. Right, he marries someone, he doesn't find betulim, and she says, well, it happened from, right, I was raped. V'hu omer lo ki ad shelo erastik v'haya mikhi mekach ta'ut. Right, and he says, no, it must have happened before the Erusin, and basically I married someone who already was not a betula. So, Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar Omrim, ne'emenet, we believe the woman, okay? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no, right? Lo mipi anu chayim, alazo b'chazkat be'ula ad shelo tetares, right? And she has to bring proof. So, what are we going to say here? This breaks down to that same machloket. If you say she has Tana Petulim, right, it means that he can make a claim against her and she's not believed. That's Rabbi Yeshua. If you say Ein La Tana Petulim, then you're going to hold like Rabban Gamliel, okay, that you can't claim anything against her because she can claim what she wants, right? And in this case, what's the problem? They're a Chereshet and a Shota. They can't make a claim, right? But the assumption is here we're going to learn that there's a din of Ta'aninan, okay, which is basically if someone can't make a claim themselves, we make a claim for them, okay? It happens sometimes with yitomim. If they don't know how to protect themselves, we come and make, if there's some ta'ana that can give them what they need in this case, we come and we claim it for them. So here we're going to say, first they say, no, Harabban Gamliel, Harab Yeshua. But now they say, no. Imur Deshamal Eile Rabban Gamliel, when Rabban Gamliel says what he says, Hecha de Katana Ihi. Hecha de Lo Katana Ihi Mishamale. So first they're saying, why are you even comparing? In the case of Rabban Gamliel, what does he say? She's believed. Remember, the whole thing was based on that she makes a Ta'anat Bari. She says, I know I was raped after the engagement. So obviously we're going to believe her because she makes a real claim. And his is a Shema, right? We don't even know what his claim is, right? He's just saying maybe it happened before. So, and in this case, obviously the Chereshet and the Shotah can't claim themselves. So now the Gemara is going to answer, like I said, in Kevan da Amar Rabban Gamliel Mehemna Kegon Zo Ptach Picha La'ilemhu. Okay, this is a case where we're going to basically put words in their mouths. If there's some claim they can make, then we're going to claim it for them, since they can't claim it themselves. Okay, next case. Habogeret ein la ta'anat betulim. Okay, once you're bogeret, there is no ta'anat betulim, according to this braita we quoted. So now they're going to say, v'ha amar. So what does this mean? What's the assumption of this? That a bogeret, we talked about this before. There's an assumption that once she gets older, there's a high likelihood that her betulim were torn and that she's not going to bleed anymore. So therefore, you can't come and claim and say, she's not a betula, I didn't find simane betula. So now they say, what do you mean she doesn't have betulim? V'ha marav, bogeret notnim la laila harishon. What does this mean? Okay, now, if it's dam betulim, ikar hadin, it's just a petza, and you don't have to separate from your wife. I've already told you this, that we now don't treat it that way. We treat any blood as problematic blood, even though dam betulim, like we're machmir on it, and we treat it as if it's dam nidin, you have to be poresh miyat. But here we see that mikara din, you really don't have to be. And as long as she keeps bleeding that whole night, you don't have to worry that it's nida blood. You can assume, even though she's a bogeret, that the whole first night, any blood you see is dam betulim. So here you see that they do have dam betulim, right? So the assumption is that bogeret does have dam betulim, because you don't have to assume that the blood you see is nida blood. So how could you say in the other case, bogeret ain latana betulim? She's expected that she will have blood. So, what do they answer? Ida katayin ta'anat amim. Ida katayin ta'anat amim. Hachanami, hachabamay askina, de katayin ta'anat ketach patuach. There's two different ta'anot. If you're to'ain ta'anat amim, then we accept your claim. If you say, we slept together, there's no blood, here's proof for it, we accept your claim when in Bulgaria. Because there isn't a something she's going to bleed. But if there's no evidence, remember we saw there were two different ta'anot, I didn't find betulim, and I have a sheet that's, white, and there's no blood on it, and I can prove it. Or there's petach patuach, which is, it felt like it was much bigger, right? And I happen not to have noticed anything, but not that I have proof for it. So there we can assume that when she's a bogeret, it's petach patuach already. In other words, it's not as tight as it is when she's younger, and therefore you can't come and claim ta'anat petach patuach. That's what we mean, we can't be towing that, but we can be towing ta'anat amim. Okay. Sumchus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Here's a really weird one, okay? This we could put on our list of strange perceptions of women and their betulim, and okay. Sumchus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Suma ein la ta'anat betulim. Okay, a woman who's blind, you can't claim ta'anat betulim on her. My time at the Sumchus. Amar Rabbi Zera Mipneshin Nichbetet al Gabe HaKarka. She trips a lot because she's blind, she can't see, she falls a lot, and the assumption is one time when she fell, she lost her betulim. Okay, she's clumsy. So now, okay, it gets even better. What do you mean? All women, in theory, can fall and lose their betulim. Maybe, I don't know if it means all women are clumsy or not, but, it's not so much more likely that a suma is going to fall and lose her betulim than any regular person. So now what do they answer? No. Because kulu ro'otu mar'ot li'iman. Women, if they fall, they're going to notice that they're bleeding from there. They're going to know that they tore their hymen, and they're going to tell their mothers. And their mothers are obviously going to publicize this and let people know. And zo eina ro'ave eina mar'ah li'imah. But because she's blind, she won't see the blood came out. I don't know if she won't feel it. I'm not sure exactly what she's seeing here. But she's not going to show her mother because she can't. So therefore, we're going to assume that even if she lost her betulim, she won't know about it, and therefore we're not going to blame her and say, oh, well, you lied and you should have all this when and the assumption is that it came from a wound and not from actually sleeping with someone. Hayotzei mishum shemra, ein la lo knas velo pitoy. So now they're going to say, what do you mean a motzi shemra? Hayotze mishum shemra bat skilahi. If someone leaves a marriage because of motzi shemra, what's the case? Adim came and said, you slept with someone else, right? And they come and say, we saw you were mityached with some guy, right, after you were engaged. The only way you can be motzi, because of motzi shemra, you can divorce your wife, is if there's evidence. If there's evidence, then obviously she's not going to get knas. Knas is only for betula, right? We have evidence now that she slept with someone. So what are you talking about? Like, it's no chiddush at all. So Amar of Sheshet Hachi Kamar. Mi shiatza aleha shem rabi yalduta ein la lo knas velo pitoy. What does this mean? It doesn't mean a motzi shemra, the way the Torah talks about a motzi shemra. It means someone who has a reputation that she slept around. Okay? Here we have a term that they're using that's a very, you know, usually used in a particular way, and we're now saying it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean the typical usage of the term. It means people have been talking about her that she sleeps around. We don't have any evidence about it, but word on the street is that this girl slept around, and therefore, if she gets raped, she doesn't get knas or pitoy. Amra papa shmamina haishtara rea lo magbinam be. Same thing, okay? He's making a comparison. This is the same thing as a shtar that has like a bad name about it. People think that it was a forged shtar, even though we don't have any proof for it. You can't collect money with it, okay? The same way this girl has like a bad rap about her, if there's a shtar that people think it was possibly a forgery without having any sort of evidence, then it's you can't take the money based on this shtar. So now the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what are we talking about here? Ilema denafik kala ale de shtara de zayafahu. If you're going to say that both these cases are where there's a rumor, okay? There's a rumor that this was a forgery. There's a rumor that this girl slept around. Didn't Rava say, Yatza la shem mizaneh ba'ir, ein choshashin la. If there's a shem mizaneh ba'ir, people say this girl slept around, she's still allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay? So what are the answer? So therefore, it shouldn't be the case here, right? If she's still allowed to marry a Kohen, she should still get her knas. And we don't pay attention to rumors, basically. So it can't be that it was just a rumor. Because based on rumors, we don't act. Ela de'atu beitre va'amre liditu tva'atinu be'isura. Okay, what does that mean? Two witnesses came and said, liditu tva'atinu be'isura. This woman came to us and tried to get us to sleep with her. We didn't, but you should just know that, that here we have witnesses that say that she tried to seduce them into sleeping with her. And then the same thing with the shtar. Two people came and said, he came to me and asked me to forge a shtar for him. So now they say, okay, wait. So what's the assumption here? The assumption is if two witnesses come and say she tried to seduce me, that she's going to try to seduce someone else, and the assumption is she must have been successful in seducing someone else. Same thing with the shtar. He came to two witnesses and said, I want you to sign my, forge my document. The assumption is he probably found two other witnesses to forge his document. So Gemara is going to say, those two don't really compare the same way. Why? Can you figure out why? Bishlama hatam shchichei prutzim. A woman who's looking for sex, she'll find it somewhere. There's always people who are willing to sleep with her. Just because he wants to forge a document doesn't mean he's going to find two witnesses who are going to forge a document for him. Okay, here you see, right, the ta'ava for sex is obviously much stronger than the ta'ava for money, according to this, right? Because just because he wants to forge a shtar doesn't mean he's going to find people. But now they say, no, it is a good comparison. Why? If he was looking to have witnesses forge a shtar, right? What could he have done? If he really wants to forge a document, he doesn't need people to help him. He could just forge it himself. And if he really is motivated to forge a document, Agadeh Kafni would go look for, ask some witnesses to do it. He'll figure out some way to learn how to forge a document. So basically, if someone has two witnesses who say, she tried to seduce me, he tried to get me to forge a shtar, we can accept that enough in court to basically say, this woman, we can assume she doesn't have betulim, and this guy who brings a shtar and says, you owe me money based on the shtar, we can assume it was a forged document and not allow him to collect money based on it. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Let's finally get to the next Mishnah. Tomorrow, the Elusha and Lahem Knas.